like we have a quorum, and I will call the meeting to order. Is there an approval for the agenda?
This is Cindy. I move that we approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
I second.
This is Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, the agenda's been approved. We'll now look at the minutes from the last meeting.
This is Joe. I make a motion that we approve the meetings from the August minutes. Or, I'm sorry, the minutes from the August meeting.
Is there a second?
I second it.
All in favor of approving of the minutes of the last meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Minutes have been approved. Do we have any visitors' comments? Step up to the podium, please, and state your name.
This is Julie Walker. I'm a staff member at Petersburg Medical Center and the community wellness manager. With the upcoming elections, there's been a lot of discussion about PMC's youth program, especially our kindergarten program, which is one of the several programs that we run. But I'd just like to take a moment of your time to express my gratitude to the PMC board for taking on childcare and remind us of how the programs that we're running meet the mission of PMC. I'm really grateful to the PMC board that they're willing to take a chance a year ago by approving the community wellness department to pilot a childcare program. I think it shows PMC's innovation and commitment to our community. It shows that PMC was listening 2 and 3 years ago when our community was doing assessments and community cafes about childcare and the challenges in the industry was facing locally as well as nationally. It also shows that we're committed to our staff in recruiting and retaining employees at PMC by ensuring that they have quality childcare. The word childcare and daycare are used very often to describe what we do, but I think it's really misleading. I think it's true that they do take care of our children during the day, but it's so much more than that, and I urge PMC board members as well as our community members to think of it as more than that. PMC's youth programs, our health and wellness programs, we promote physical activity, social emotional development, community connectedness, mental health, and a sense of joy and wonder that our children get from playing outside that they do not get when they are indoors on screens. I, as a parent of a kindergarten child for the past 4 years, could go on and on and on and on about the wonderful things that it has done for my child, but I won't right now. One of the goals that our team has as a community wellness team is to quantify some of those health and wellness outcomes and be able to show in a meaningful way how they are improving the health and wellness of our community. I know that we are on the agenda, or we're going to be on the agenda for the October meeting to give you a debrief of the past year of our pilot program, and I look forward to highlighting all the wonderful things we've been able to do in that past year. And I just thank you for your time and your commitment to our community.
Yep. Is there any other visitor that wishes to make a comment?
My name is Molly Tiber, and I'm representing myself this evening. Thank you for housing Kinderstock program and acknowledging that this is part of community wellness for our town. If members of our community are not aware of Petersburg's continuous need of quality childcare, after-school programs, and summer programs for children of a wide range of ages, it is time to inform all that this need affects them, if they have children or not. This makes a difference in how businesses run in our community. This need dictates if our coworkers, neighbors, and relatives can come to work or keep their jobs. Programs such as Kinderskog make it possible for parents to take a job outside of the house determine if they can come to live in our community for school or hospital employment, and maintain that job. This need affects you no matter your age or parental status. Thank you, each of you, for seeing this community need and coordinating with such a well-run program. I hope the continuation of partnership is strengthened between PMC and Kinderskog well after my daughter ages out. She wants to work one day as a teenage mentor with Kinderskog. How telling of the valuable confidence, skills, and care that she has been presented with for the past 5 to 6 years. Katie has made absolute certain that Kinderskog has excelled during times of challenges, obstacles, and uncertainties. The quality of staff, the activity level, and leadership skills that are learned daily with this program is invaluable to me as a parent and to us as community members. Thank you, Kinderskog and PMC.
Anyone else wish to speak?
Thanks for the opportunity. My name is Brian Smith. I just also wanted to chime in preparation for the discussion, I think, at the next meeting about the pilot program status of Kinderskog. I just wanted to briefly voice my support for the program and its home at PMC. I'm currently serving as secretary for the Kinderskog Advisory Committee, and I'm also a parent representative on the committee. We have 9 dedicated committee members who are passionate about the program and want to do everything we can to support it. It's an incredibly valuable program for our kids and our community. We could go on and on again about all the ways in which it fills a desperately needed role in our community. Not only does it provide childcare, but it does so in a way such that our kids can explore, experience, and grow in their knowledge of our local environment and nurture curiosity, fun, and physical development. I've observed this firsthand, firsthand in my own child who's in the program. It serves the kids, parents, and the whole community immeasurably. So I just wanted to make sure that the PMC board keeps in mind that in addition to Katie and the staff, our Kinderskog Advisory Committee can be a resource for any questions or concerns the PMC board may have at the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Katie Holmland. I'm the Youth Program Coordinator. I also want to express my gratitude for housing. I'm going to get emotional, you guys. It's been a long journey since 2018. This is a program that I have fully invested myself in because our kids are worth it. And under PMC, not only has the program grown substantially in terms of capacity, it has allowed me the support that I needed in order to become an advocate at the state level. PMC is now being viewed as leaders on child care programs like this. Other organizations, other hospitals, other communities are reaching out to us wanting to know how we made this happen, and that would not have happened without Petersburg Medical Center's support. It has also allowed me to look at my program in a different way, really paying close attention to things like risk assessment. Definitely was doing that before. Now I have a really awesome spreadsheet for it. It's great. So with the support of Medical Center, this program will continue to grow. And I look forward to presenting next month so you can see some of the cool activities we've been up to, the way we've benefited children and families and supported our community. Thank you.
Any other visitor have something they'd like to say to the board? Okay. Board member comments. Hearing none, if you have one, unmute yourself and say.
speak up.
This is Cindy. I just wanted to say that the ANHA conference that we went to in Anchorage last week, I think even surprised their group as to how excellent it was and how well it went over. We learned a lot of new things, including some information about behavioral health, which I cannot say I was very informed about in the past. And we were, as folks mentioned, approached by other entities about our Kinderscott program, and we were able to learn a little bit more about recruiting and challenges other hospitals are having, and some opportunities for us to collaborate with others. So I just wanted to let folks know those were some of the things that were talked about, and also thank the board thank the hospital for inviting us along. And I enjoyed every part of it except for getting COVID.
Thank you for your comment. Any other board comments? We'll move on to committee reports. Resource committee.
Chair. I have a few rough notes that I can share. The last cycle, our patient numbers were up for August. It looks like about 2.4 million in the last cycle. And so that's a lot better than we've been doing. It's a positive feeling to know that things are looking up right now. But at the same time, we have to still be cautious to make sure that we can keep those numbers going forward. So overall, we're looking better than we were, and hoping to see those numbers continue on.
Thank you. Critical Access Hospital Committee, is that Joe?
Yeah, this is Joe. I'm sorry, I was on the road with my parents and I was unable to attend the Critical Access Hospital Committee meeting.
The next is Long-Term Care Committee, and I attended that meeting. Several issues were raised. One being that some of the residents at long-term care have needed some new, very specialized equipment, and some of that equipment is too big to fit through all the doorways in various spots in long-term care. So they are going to have to work around that in ways that is going to be harder for the staff and harder for the residents. And it just, again, points to the inadequacy of the current space for our long-term care residents. Another issue, of course, is the solarium. I believe we talked about this at the last meeting, that critical mold was discovered in the solarium. It's totally closed off now and unusable. And that is one of the reasons why storage is, again, a big problem for long-term care. On a positive note, since ending COVID quarantines and isolations, the long-term care residents are ready to have a lot of visitors, and we would really encourage anyone who has some time that they would like to volunteer up at long-term care to contact the hospital, and could be people who want to play music, people that just want to have conversations. In the past, they've had volunteers who have been certified to drive the van to take people out on rides. And there's all kinds of ways that people in the community can volunteer for long-term care. The residents love seeing children. And I know there'll be something coming up at the end of next month for Halloween for the long-term care residents. Okay, we move on to reports. First, we have pharmacy with Elise Kubo. And you have the written report.
Okay. I do want to hear my report, though. Oh, you want me up there?
I think okay. The microphone should be good.
Yes, yes. My report. There have been a huge lot of changes in pharmacy recently. We do have a couple of new computer reports, digital reports, house built, that have simplified some processes that I have to do on a daily basis and have made some of the jobs that I do easier. Communication, we are now able to communicate easier from the nurses directly to the pharmacy department to notify me of problems with medications that don't scan right, that don't charge right, any other problems that they need to notify the pharmacy department. There's an easy way to do it. Also, a large report that I have to run every day is now a one-click process thanks to a house-built report that's been constructed for me, which is awfully nice. Oh, thank you. I am looking forward to having a running inventory, which we still don't have because we don't have a software that is suitable for our needs, but that will be another house-built solution that we are very lucky to have someone who can do that. There are shortages of medications. There's been nationwide shortages that have increased recently that cause some frustration, but we are able to keep sufficient stock on hand for everything that we need for to care for our patients, which is very good. 340B, we do use the 340B program for a few purchases of in-house medications. We have been able to save money using that program. We are actively looking to start using the program in cooperation with Rexall as well, so that some savings can be had by the hospital and by Rexall as well. Any questions?
Any questions on the pharmacy report?
Thank you. Next, rehab. Caitlin, I don't see anyone from rehab here, but are there any questions? Once again, turnover in the rehab department it seems to be an issue and has been an issue for several years now. And I can't help but think that the lack of space that they work under contributes to people deciding it's time to move on somewhere else.
This is Phil. Just thank Mike Boggs for his service. He retired and after 24 years, and he's officially retired, and Wolf is our interim manager while he's gone, and so we'll miss him. So spent a lot of time within the facility. He was the go-to for the aging structure. So wish him the best.
He had on a magician's hat at times, keeping things going when circumstances got very dicey. Environmental services, any questions or comments?
On the subject of the solarium, are we looking at getting a cost estimate to fix that, or are we going to try to fix it in-house?
Yeah, we're working with, I believe, Bob Olson to help repair that, and we're working. We already had the estimate. I believe it's about roughly around $14,000 was the quote, but you know, that was just an estimate. So we're trying to work on it, that improvement currently. I believe that's starting to happen right now. So hopefully that'll be resolved shortly.
Environmental services.
This is Kim. I just was wondering if we were able to get that water line fixed for the chemical dispenser. They've gone back several times for the water line. She has a report.
So I'll have to take a look at that. Which part are you referencing on the report?
Environmental services.
Spencer. Yeah, I'll have to follow up with that.
Next is activities reports.
This is Alice. I'm here over Zoom. I'm open for any questions.
Can you talk a little louder?
Is this a little bit better?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So this is Alice here. I am happy to answer any questions. I did want to focus in on a couple different things on the report. The first, kind of just echoing off of what Marlene said, our focus right now as the activities department, as far as community engagement is concerned, is we're really hoping to start to see more of the community back in long-term care. We were at the Reconnect Petersburg Volunteer Fair, and we got 8 people to sign up, which I'm very excited for, to start working with them on different levels as volunteers. But we also got the opportunity to chat with so many different community members and update them on what's going on in long-term care. We do have our Halloween event coming up at the end of the month to hopefully get some of the youth in the community back over to long-term care. Like Marlene said, the residents really enjoy seeing the youth. The other thing I wanted to chat about, which I somehow forgot to include in the report, is the status of the solarium and how that's impacting activities and long-term care. The solarium was a great place for our plants to grow, and a lot of our residents were very much into gardening, and so it shut down our gardening season a little bit early upon the discoveries within the solarium. We're grateful that looking forward, you know, we've already seen Bob Olson and his crew up there doing stuff, and it gives us hope that, you know, we'll have the problem addressed here shortly. Marlene had also brought up the storage aspect of the solarium. We've had to make room for things like our exercise bike, as well as move a lot of smaller things into our salon area. So it really does speak volumes how much we need more storage within our facility. So that's all I have, but like I said, I am here to answer any questions.
Any questions for Alice? Okay, thank you, Alice. Next is quality and infection prevention.
So I can be my interest in line a little bit. This is Phil. I can answer any questions on quality, and Jennifer has been taking on the infection prevention. Just a few highlights on the quality. As we have broken out as the other departmental reports into the sections of our strategic plan with workforce wellness, community engagement, patient-centered care, facility, and financial stability. And as just a reference at the beginning of the agenda, the committee comments for the board are related to the quality meetings that are referenced here. So just to make sure that those are tied in to the to those reports. So the community engagement, we're working on administration for community livings grant, which is our falls prevention grant. That's actually going really well. The Tai Chi Kuan classes started on September 12th, and there's a high number of enrollees, and that's very exciting. We also started the bingo size in the first class, started on the 25th, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? I'm looking at Julie who's running that. Also related to collaboration and community engagement is our school nurse, our home health nurse, has been working with the school, and we've been able to re-engage the school with that as well for another contract for this year, in addition to our behavioral health with Laura Holder as the RN and Ashley as behavioral health. So those are really great opportunities to work with the school and work collaboratively. Related to patient-centered care, we have a number of initiatives related to improvement with chronic care management, hypertension, and some of the areas in long-term care that were identified previously. Facilities, I don't want to be too redundant. Well, some of those cross over into my executive report as well, so I'll have a little bit more to report out on in my executive report, in addition to the financial wellness. Jennifer, do you have anything from infection prevention?
I don't think I have anything else to add unless there are any questions based on the report.
Any word on when we're going to get the new COVID vaccine?
I do not know. I also spoke with Aaron today with public health, and it's on order, but has not shipped yet.
And when it does, will people be able to get it through the health center, the public health center, or will it be through PMC?
The public health center will have it, and Kelly is at nodding, meaning that the clinic will also be having the clinic. We've transitioned now the COVID vaccine going over to the clinic as one of our regular immunizations, so it should be easy to get for people who are in the clinic for any other reason as well.
And just because we have the opportunity and people might be listening on the radio, flu vaccines are available at both places?
Flu vaccines are available at both places. We still, there was a very small amount of high dose vaccine that was available this early. So that is, I think, pretty much already used. So we will be hopefully getting more, but regular flu shots are available at any time.
Thank you. Next is executive summary.
All right, so this is Phil. Any questions on my report? I'll give a few highlights that are in there. I also have a few new information that I'd like to announce, I suppose. I heard today that we got a verbal green light on the Treasury grant. So that's a really good. I talked with the governor's office today, the Office of Management Budget, and we were able to get the verbal on that. I still would like to have the email acknowledgement just to make sure, but that was very exciting news, and that's the $20 million Treasury grant and that we heard about earlier today, and that's very, very exciting. That means that we can kind of move forward with some the work building and the new planning and designing for that. So from the public standpoint, we would like to have another open house now that we have some more firm funding. And again, I'd like to make sure I get that confirmation email on that, and then have another open house closer to the end, or closer to November is what we're thinking about to present to the public. So that's very exciting. A couple of things just to add on to on the comments related to the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association annual conference last week. Thank you for the Jared and Cindy for attending, and Jennifer also. Jennifer sat on a panel, a workforce panel, and spoke about, along with other hospitals, on strategies on improving and retaining our workforce. And, you know, a lot of things, notable mentions in that presentation were Kinderscott program, child care something that people, other hospitals came up and asked me about. All are trying to replicate and do child care, asking how we were able to do that. And, Katie and Julie's work and being able to bring that is really important in addressing the needs for child care, but also youth and wellness, and that's very exciting. As we were standing around with Cindy, Jared, and Jennifer, one of the hospitals actually came up to us and said, you know, can I get the person who started the program, and we want to do the same thing. So those are really important and notable things. Even at the level of the commissioner, I met up with Heidi Hedberg, the Department of Health and Social Service commissioner, and also she sits on the task force and leads the governor's task force on child care. And when Katie and I testified last week, I didn't even realize she sat on the committee, but she came up to me and asked a lot of questions about that. And so really strong compliments on that program. In addition to that was the, Jennifer's comments on the better help and the availability of mental health services to our staff, just courtesy as part of an effort to retain workforce. So those are really strong things. In addition to all the trainings and opportunities for our CNAs and RN program too. So I'm speaking a little bit for you, Jennifer, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think you covered it, but like you said, I mean, people were, as I was looking out at the audience talking about Kinderscott, I saw like wide open eyes and like nodding heads, and so it's a problem that everybody's dealing with, and I'm really proud that we're on that leading edge and really setting that model for the community. So it's fantastic.
The other thing of note on that we learned last week is some new CMS regulations. You know, obviously hospital long-term care, we're driven by a lot of regulatory bodies. CMS is going to be putting forward some new regulations specific to long-term care. A lot of those regulations really are space, you know, making sure that residents have enough square footage and space. Single occupancy rooms was one of those areas as well, and there's going to be pretty strong fines if they're not met, from my understanding. So those are out for public comment, and there'll be a quick turnaround on trying to meet those regulations. And anytime there's regulations that come out, we have to scramble and make sure that they're met. And those are really challenging to accommodate, especially given the environment that we're in within our facility. So,
there was one other thing, Bill, that we all have neglected to mention,
yes,
and that the recognition of staff for nursing home excellence.
Oh yeah, how can I forget? I'm sorry, I apologize. We did win an award, a PMC won an award for quality, quality excellence through the AHA conference. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Cindy, for that reminder. That was also a real kind of a surprise, and not a surprise from the quality of care, but a surprise that we were able to get that award. So that was excellent. Thank you for that. I'll jump down to financial wellness. Jason will provide a report and update on financials. Some highlights are we are continued to recover, which is great. We're still at sort of zero-based budgeting, which, you know, I'm very grateful on, considering last year we were in the negatives, we're moving into the positives. We still have some work to do on that, but I want to thank the financial team, Jason and Joel and Sarah and Carrie and all the whole financial team for working so hard on moving in the right direction and getting some of those really challenging workflows done. From the new facility, obviously, we have some updated information here on the Treasury, which is very exciting. The Treasury grant defines some of the new designs, so we had to pivot a little bit on change on some of those designs, and those will be coming out here. We had a steering committee meeting to solidify, we're getting ready to solidify those designs, but just one thing of note is that in the work building, which is the part of the Treasury grant, will be we're working on designing and adding an MRI. So that's also a big component and service line that we're working towards. And I know the community is interested in expanding some services, and that's something we're trying to accommodate and meet. See if there's anything else of note here. A lot of it has been covered. Our mental health grant, an opioid grant, we're working on implementing that and getting some of the contracts ready for a psychiatrist that we're engaging, and that's going to be, we're going to update as we move forward. One thing to add on that is, you know, I had some, internally we've had some discussions related to concern about fentanyl in our community. And we had a group with Chief Kerr and Aaron at the EMS and Aaron at Public Health and some of our Jennifer and Dr. Hess, a discussion about what we're seeing in the community and maybe some action items and things that we can do to address this emerging need. I'll have more information related to that as we go forward, but it is certainly a concern. We're seeing it out in other areas in the media, but we're also seeing it here locally. It's pretty scary from that standpoint. So we're trying to make people aware of it, education, and provide more feedback as we go forward with that. Let's see. I think, specialties. We had a great clinic, thanks to the search team came in with Dr. Garrison, where we had our colonoscopy clinic, and that's something we've been trying to start up for a while and just has fell through the cracks with a lot of different false starts, and COVID has obviously derailed many of those efforts, and we're very, very grateful for Search and their team to come on and our working with our team and the nursing staff at PMC. And we had our first clinic, and I don't know, Jennifer, do you want to comment anything on that? Because you were leading that initiative.
Yeah, today wrapped up our third day of scopes. We were able to help 18 patients with their colonoscopies, which we've had about a 5-year gap since we did them last. And it was fantastic. We have a part-time surgeon from that works in Search. Bill mentioned Dr. Garrison, who's fantastic. We had the Olympus rep, who Olympus is the manufacturer of our scope equipment, and even he was like, she is really good. And so she's efficient, she's skilled, and she has an excellent bedside manner. So we just couldn't be happier with that, as well as we had a CRNA, Kelly Gebler, from Search as well, and she was as well fantastic. And then it was really a whole team from PMC that pulled together to really, we used to do this so frequently, and but we now have, you know, new staff, a new EHR, new equipment, and so it was really building it from the ground up, and, you know, going from EBS and the dietary all the way through coding, and referrals and nursing and lab, it just like every department worked together to come together to be able to have a really successful clinic. So anyway, our wait list is growing and we anticipate another clinic in mid-January.
Yeah, and along those lines, we're adding in some more specialties. We have dermatology coming next month, which also very excited about. There's a waiting list growing for that. And we're getting these services, we're trying to get on a schedule, and we're trying to make sure that they're a good fit for our community and PMC. So very excited about that. We have optometry coming next week to do a trunk show, actually, I'm looking towards Kelly on that. Do you have, what's the information on that? Saturday,
yeah,
in the parking
Saturday,
lot of PMC.
But I mean, she's doing services all week and then has like a discount trunk show on Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't know what a trunk show was, but it's really, it's to provide some discounts to eyeglasses and those kinds of things, right? So we'll have some information advertised on that. So also very exciting. And I think that's all I had to update.
How can people access the newer information on the changes in the building, the community people?
The designs?
Yes.
We still haven't solidified those completely, so I don't want to put those out to the public until we have those completely firmed up. So I sent them out to the board, the steering committee met, and we reviewed those, made some edits. We have to make a few more edits until we get the finals before we can put those out to the community.
Okay, so they aren't going to be on the website yet?
Not yet, no. They're still in draft form. So we're working, getting closer and closer to that.
Thank you for that report. And now, financials.
Thank you for the opportunity. Let me just quickly, I put it up a couple times already, but those were a false start, so let me get the financial statements back up on screen here. Just talk about a few highlights. And so I appreciated Phil's compliment, but really the compliment goes to the clinical departments. The financial condition of the organization has improved significantly over the course of the summer, which is quite a feat because usually we see fewer patient cares, fewer episodes of care during the summer and more during the fall, winter, and spring. But we've seen an increased volume. And that it's really easy to have good financial performance when we have great patient care, when there's good volumes, when the community's supporting it. So, you know, the accounting department, we just got to make sure the numbers are in the right spot, that we collect the bills and pay the vendors. I would say probably the only thing that we can really claim as a success right now is we did submit a grant, the paperwork for a grant back a couple months ago, FEMA, and we signed a letter of commitment with them a couple weeks ago. We've still got another big packet of signatures to do. There's, you know, the government likes those kinds of things, but before we get the check, but that's the only way we can really claim any contribution to the bottom line other than just putting the numbers in the right place. But it's exciting to see the colonoscopy clinic and many of the other services that are coming online in the support of the community. Several more projects to go over the course of the fall and the winter and the spring, and I think we'll continue to see increased improvements. We're seeing this in the industry as a whole. You know, certainly last year, post-COVID, most hospitals across the country really struggled with lower patient volumes. Of course, the subsidies from COVID were gone, and a lot of hospitals were operating in the red. But as we're getting past that, and people are returning to get their preventative care, things of that nature, supporting clinics once again, feeling comfortable being in hospitals, we're seeing a little bit of a rebound. So a couple of highlights here. You're looking at the financial statements showing for the month of August. Our total operating revenues for the month, $1.9 million, so almost $2 million against a budget of $1.9 million. So we were about $102,000 above budget for the month of August. Putting that year to date, we're about $53,000 for the 2 months in the period above budget on an operating basis, and that's good to see.
total operating expenses. We're seeing them just a little bit above, a little bit below budget. So there was $2,034,000 for the actual expenses against a budget of $2,088,000. So beating budget by $53,000 there. For the 2 months year to date, we're about $360,000, positive. So exciting to see that, especially once again, this is July and August, low summer months. Our investments, they go up and down. We record the difference. It doesn't really translate into a change in the bank account. The investments went down. So on a market basis, recorded a reduction in the value of those by $63,000, but it doesn't actually translate into a change in our financial position. So overall, $226,000 bottom line for the month of August, and the year-to-date basis, that is $224,000. So you can come down here, just kind of glance, you know, what's causing that. We've had a little higher acute census, swing census, as compared to prior years. We have, let's see, 144 days for those 2 months. Same period prior year was 88, so the inpatient census and acute census is higher. Long-term care census, looks like we're at 829 against the same time a year ago, 706. So once again, hard work by our clinicians and our medical providers. Emergency department was also busier with 194 compared to prior year to 144. Several items are leading to that. And then the concluding piece that I would share with you is, you know, since March of last year, we've not dipped it into any of our reserves. Our cash is holding at around $600,000, $650,000. We're able to collect through the business office, through the services that we're rendering, enough to pay our expenses. We're not necessarily gaining too much, but we're not losing. We did hit a low of about $300,000 a couple of months ago, but have built back to that mid-$600,000, and continue to have solid improvements. I measure what the effectiveness of our business office based upon gross days in ER. Back in March, when I first joined the team, they were about 90, 95 days. They're down to 72. I did a lot to deal with cleaning up the accounts receivable that was on CPSI. Most of that is done at this point. I would share with you and the community that we are working on some credit balances, maybe reaching out to some people in the community, informing them that we have some balances and need to process some refunds back to them. So people kind of like to hear that. So they may see some of that coming about in the next few months, or we may be transferring, if they have existing outstanding balances, we'll transfer those credits to that area. But we have a little bit of cleanup left to do on the CPSI system in terms of resolving credit balances there. So we have some good projects that we've got going on. We're in the middle of our audit, and we just completed what's called a DISH audit. And some special payments we received to support the emergency department, and we completed that audit and did not have to refund any money to the government for those, so we're excited about that. The auditors will be working on our audit again about the second week of October. We should have for the board our audit report probably in December. We'll have our cost report done in November. So two very, very large projects that we're working on. So I'm excited about what we're doing, the team that we have, not only the finance and business office team, but it's great to interact with the department managers and the executives, the medical staff, and see the projects they have for expanding patient care, and that's leading to better financial health. So greatly appreciate the relationship. Any questions for me regarding financial health?
Any questions from our members on Zoom? Thank you very much for the report.
Okay.
Next, does anybody have any old business to bring up? once again, we need to say kudos to the long-term care staff and Helen Boggs and everyone who works up there, not only on their five-star rating, but now getting the statewide award for excellence. Is there any new business? I've been appointed now to the Community Engagement Committee, and I would like us to meet soon. I think that's, we've been getting a strong message that our efforts at communication could improve. So that would be myself and Kim and Jared are on that committee. So I'll be contacting and see when we can arrange that. And I'm hoping there's a couple staff members too that might be able to help us out.
Sure. Yeah.
On that, and see if we can come up with some ideas that will make people feel that they have chances to not only listen to us, but that we have good chances to listen to them and what their concerns are. All right. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
I motion that the board will enter into executive session to consider medical staff appointments and reappointments, medical matter or legal matters, and to discuss matters the intimate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the hospital.
Is there a second?
I will, this is Joe, I will second that.
We'll take a few minutes for people to get reconnected through a different Zoom, and thanks to everybody for coming to the meeting tonight.
Excuse me, Marlene, is that approved to go into
executive session? Oh, we have to vote. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.